Swimming Out to Sea by Penny Jones. Oh, well, there's only one Mr. Kipling left. My mother's voice comes out clipped. I ignore her, staring out to sea pointedly as my stomach growls in hunger. I don't care if there's only one pie left. I don't care about the picnic at all. I was supposed to go to the cinema with Joel today. Popcorn and Pepsi were what I wanted. I had enough money to buy my own, but it would have been nicer to have shared. Our hands touching as we snaffled our sweet treat. Always sweet, never salty. You can tell a lot from someone's taste in popcorn. I hear the click, followed by the gentle sigh of escaping gas, as either my mum or dad open a bottle of beer. My throat feels scratchy and dry. I could do with a drink, but I don't turn round to ask. I can already imagine the looks on their faces as they lay sprawled on the mishmash of blankets that they threw down on top of the lumpy shore. I can hear their arid laughter, the sound abrasive like sand, whipped up by the sea breeze that scratches like sandpaper at my reddening face. I lift my hand to my throat. The skin there is hot, baked feverish in the midday sun. I know I should sit in the shade for a while, beneath the protection of the umbrella and windbreaks my father's hammered into the beach, piling soft sand around their stanchions. I know I should at least ask my parents for some sun cream to block out the unrelenting rays. But I'm not speaking to them, so I can't very well ask for it, can I? It'll be their fault if I burn anyway. If they'd let me go to the cinema with Joel, I'd have been in the shade. They shouldn't have brought us to the beach on the hottest day of the year anyway. They're useless, stupid, or they just don't care. I blink back the tears. There's no point crying. It won't do any good. And anyway, then my parents will know that they've won. I scrunch my toes into the hot sand, digging my way deeper until I find the damper layer beneath. Coolness soothes the burning on my soles as golden grains skitter across the tops of my feet, tickling as they glide away. The cool weight of the damp sand against my skin is blissful. Of course, I chastise myself. I'm nearly as stupid as my parents. Nearly. There's another way I can cool down and ease the burning in my skin a little. Hopefully I can minimise any damage before Joel sees me tomorrow. I don't want to be a puffy red mess when I see him. Not on our last day. He'd run into the arms of the next woman he saw as soon as I got in the car to go back home. I stand. Stretch! My burning skin feels taut as I take my first step towards the sea. My mother calls out, something about lunch and not swimming, though whether it's that she doesn't want me to go for a swim on an empty stomach or warning me about waiting for an hour after eating to reduce the risk of cramps, I'm not sure. But I don't acknowledge her. I move farther away from her bleating protestations. The waves lap against my feet as I step forward. I stand for a moment as they ebb to and fro, pulling at me, gently tugging at my ankles. The sand, no longer soft and golden, is now cold and muddy. It subsides beneath my feet as the waves steal it away. I think about the signs that warn against quicksand further along the coast of the estuary, though they don't call it quicksand. Nothing so exotic. The signs just say, danger, sinking mud. I wonder if there are traces of sinking mud this far up the beach. Seams of it lying beneath the surface of the sand, hidden, waiting for the tide to peel back the layers. And people have gone missing here, on this beach. Drowned, swept out to sea, never to be seen again. I think of cockle pickers as the beach begins to cover my toes. I lift my feet from the quagmire beneath. The effort is more than I expected. The noise, wet and heavy, sounds organic, like a body expelling gas. Well, I'm glad that Joel doesn't hear it. Embarrassed, I turn to see if anyone else has noticed. But no one's nearby. My family is a distant speck. I can only tell where they are from the umbrella. The bright red stands out against the pale beach like a blood drop marking them. I turn away again, and lifting my feet against the sucking sand, I carefully step deeper, placing each one down, allowing a moment between each step to compensate for the pull of the tide, and make my way deeper into the torpid waters. The sea rises slowly as I wade out. With each step, the water creeps higher up my legs. What was initially refreshing is now uncomfortably cold as it reaches the edge of my swimsuit, causing me to totter on my tiptoes to prevent the freezing water from soaking me to the waist. My stomach tenses as the waves dance about my crotch, sending icy fingers up the thin material that covers me, causing me to stretch to my limits, so I'm almost on point as I try to avoid its chilling caress. I bite my teeth together to stop their chattering. Anger pushes me forward as I remember the taunts of my brother, the refusals of my parents, the nonchalant shrug of Joel's shoulders as I told him I couldn't see him today. They all pulse through me, forcing the blood to rush quicker through my body, its heat battling against the coldness of the water that envelops me. I take another step, determined to brave the frigid waters. I go to place my foot flat on the seabed, but there is no base, no ground. My remaining foot teeters on its toes, and for a moment I think I must look graceful like a ballerina before I fall, the tide grabbing at my body, pulling me forward into the sea's embrace, hitting my stomach hard like a slap, forcing the breath from me. The coldness leeches the burning away. The redness of my face turns pale as the water constricts my chest, freezing the little air that remains in my lungs. I fight against the body's urge to breathe, clamping my lips against the need to open my mouth wide and take in huge, gasping lungfuls of air. I kick my legs. Trying to orientate myself, I glance through the water. Silt dances in the beams of light. I can see the shelf I'd just been standing on. Beneath me, an abyss, as the sun fades into the depths of the sea. I kick my legs, powering myself away from the midnight darkness below, and up, up towards the brighter crystal waters above me. Trying to calm myself, I take a moment to catch my breath. The sea no longer feels cold, though now the part of my body that is above the water feels chilly. Even as I feel the sun drying my skin, goosebumps pepper my shoulders and arms. A chill crawls up my neck where the breeze hits it. I sink lower into the water, allowing the sea to envelop me. I let it bob me gently along on its current before I swim out towards the horizon. I feel the stretch in my arms as I dive through the waves. Each stroke feels like an arm raised in defiance against those I've left behind. Glancing back towards the land, I stop and float for a moment, the shore a distant scar, the colour of corpse flesh, yellowing and bruised against the blues of the sea and the sky. Everything looks so far away. My family, even the bright red of the umbrella, which stood out so vividly upon the golden beach, are all invisible at this distance. A moment ago, I felt strong and invincible. But now I've stopped, the cold wraps itself around my body. The waves that I had just cut through easily suddenly throw a handful of spray against my face, stinging my eyes and coating my lips in salt. My muscles, so powerful as they pummeled the sea's surface, now ache from tiredness. How could it be that only a second ago I felt I could continue swimming until the horizon became a new land? I'm not even sure I have the energy to make my way back to where I came from. I strike back towards the beach, fear coursing through me. The waves that before had buoyed me along now crash over my head. Each small drowning saps my energy, wearing away at me, dulling my senses, leeching away the anger that had powered my strokes, leaving me tired and weathered like a piece of flotsam. Why stop? Almost too weary to even tread water. The coast looks distant, unreachable. I try to catch my breath. Waves lap at my face. Encroaching over my chin, they creep into my mouth unless I keep it shut. I try to breathe through my nose, but it's plugged with snot and salt water. I try to time my breath to the lapping of the waves, but still, the brackish water coats my tongue and I spit it out. God, I want to drink more than anything else in the world. Well, maybe not as much as I want to feel dry land beneath my feet once more. My lips are cracked. As I lick them, my tongue comes away, coated in salt. I'm not sure how much time passes as I wait there in the waves. I'm sure that someone must notice I'm missing. But there's nothing. No boats, no helicopters circling above. I can't tell if anyone's searching for me on the beach. It looks deserted. But I'm too far out to see properly. It isn't until I start losing the feeling in my legs, an icy sensation that inches its way up from my toes, that I realise I need to keep moving. No one is coming. If I want to survive, I can only rely on myself. I flip myself back onto my front and start to swim for shore again. But this time, I don't go hell for leather, striking out as if I'm fighting against the sea. This time, I'm calmer, zen-like, measured in my approach. A gentle breaststroke, as if I'm caressing the surface of the ocean as I let it drift me along on its tide. I'm so relaxed, bobbing along, that I could almost feel as if I'm at home, relaxing in the bath. Maybe the sea's like a dog. Maybe it can sense fear. If I pretend that nothing is wrong, maybe it won't attack. And finally, I feel the scrape of stones against my shins rather than the undulating water. The waves break, tossing me against the shelf that edges the shoreline. I allow my body to fight against the natural buoyancy of the sea, fearful that once I reject the water's embrace, it'll tug me back out again, casting me adrift once more. I place my feet down, tiptoes on the loose shale, letting the waves gently lift me, concentrating on getting to the beach. I wade through the deep water. My legs ache, but not as much as my arms. The tides carried me along, washed me up on a different part of the beach. The ledge under my feet is made up of rock now, rather than the soft, giving sand where I entered. The stones press hard into my soles, their edges sharp. I feel something, a shell, a piece of sea glass, something, slice against my foot. The salt stings it as I walk, water swirling against the wound. There's a caress against my leg. Instinctively, I pull away, struggling to keep my balance. Just seaweed or maybe a fish attracted by the warmth of my blood. But then my ankle is grasped, encircled by a burning frond. I kick out until the grip releases me, though the pain continues unabated. And I see it then, floating serenely in the water. And I feel sick as I realise that it touched me with its alien tendrils. I try to run from it, but it's as if I'm in a nightmare. My feet are heavy, slow as I stumble through the water that seems thicker than treacle. Ignoring the pain from my cut foot and stung leg, ignoring my leaden limbs, I think of nothing but the need to get away, to escape, to reach the sanctity of the sand where it cannot follow me. I collapse onto the shoreline, face down. I can hear only the cacophony of the sea, its shouts and whispers as its waves crash and fall, the chuckle of the pebbles on the shoreline as it draws itself away from them. I lie for a moment on the shale, catching my breath, unable to move. The sun beats down, tightening my skin as it dries, burning away every ounce of the sea from my body. The droplets evaporate, leaving nothing but pox marks of salt on every exposed inch of my flesh. My foot and ankle hurt like a bastard. Looking down, there's nothing but a small slit by my heel, tiny to cause so much pain. Blood wells slowly. A red drop soaks into the sand before the tide laps at it and draws it back into the sea. And around my ankle, a bracelet of red burns are vivid against my skin. I stand gingerly, not wanting to put too much weight on my foot, and stumble along the beach, looking for my family. I search for my mum, knowing that she'd have something in her bag to put on the wound, something that'd cool the heat and soothe the pain. I can't see them. I can't find them. Again and again I hunt for them. Hobbling across the vast expanse of golden sand, I pray that my father will see me, that he'll come running down the beach and scoop me up in his arms and carry me to my mother's cooling touch, but there is no sign of them. The umbrellas along this stretch of beach are all sun-bleached, the colour of parchment stretched taut over skeleton frames. I avoid touching them as I walk down the beach. Their leathery hides spread wide in the day's heat seem repulsive somehow. Shadows lurk beneath, their occupants crowded under, hidden from the sun. I keep away from the parasols clustered together. Light on top, dark below, they look like the mushrooms that grow by the brook at home, the ones that grow where the sewer pipe meets the stream, where our parents warn us not to play. The wind gusts, tugging at their swollen caps, causing their frames to rattle like bones. A damp, fetid smell emanates from the closest one. I wonder if I should approach someone, explain that I'm lost. Surely the fact that I've been wandering back and forth for what seems like hours now should be sign enough to them that I need help. Yet not one person has left their protective shade. Maybe that's for the best. I step back and move away, further down the beach. The chuckling of the pebbles has faded now as I move away from the water's edge. The beach is eerily quiet. Not empty, just silent. The only sound I can hear, distant behind the sand dunes, is the high-pitched echo of children giggling. I head towards it. The beach here is busier, protected as it is from the wind and the worst of the sun's heat by the towering dunes which dominate the landscape, looming above those that lie in its shade. I weave my way through the prone bodies that lie so close to one another. There's hardly an inch of sand to show between the raffia mats and the brightly coloured beach towels. I feel them turn their heads, watching me as they follow my passage. But when I look back, all I can see are reddening bodies, as still as corpses. Books cover their faces, lurid covers showing only slighted images of black and red, glimpses of the death and horror and madness that lies within their bindings. I step carefully over the still bodies until they're behind me. And when I look back, the books are now removed, and an ocean of faces stare reproachfully at me for disturbing their slumber. Their eyes are black as they hold my gaze. I back away, hands held forth in apology, as I head towards the dunes. A peal of laughter pierces through the silence, causing their heads to dart as one towards the shrill noise. The sun throws silver daggers as I head once more towards the sound of laughter. The sand is softer at the foot of the dunes, causing me to stumble as the ground shifts beneath me, crumbling away. Sharp blades of grass slash at my palms and wrists as I put my hands out to break my fall and halt my descent. Sand sparkles in the sunshine, stuck to the hatched marks of cuts that mar my skin. I wince in expectation as I try to wipe away the worst of the mess, but it doesn't hurt as much as I thought it would. My hands just feel kind of numb and gritty. I stop to assess my progress. It's minimal. Huge gorges cut in the dunes show where I'd gotten to. But even before I fell, I'd only managed to get a few feet up the dune's bank. And now with the avalanche of sand, the face of it's almost sheer, like a cliff. This beach seems to stretch for miles, growing as the sea ebbs away. I look again for my family, but they're not here. I don't even know which way they used to be. If I walk along the beach, I could be moving closer, but just as easily moving away. I pick up a handful of sand, letting each grain fall slowly. I wait, gathering my thoughts. The pile of sand grows between my feet, casting long shadows across my toes. The shade of the dunes, once pleasantly cool, is now decidedly chilly. I look up. The umbrellas are all folded, lying empty like cast-off cocoons on the shore. The rows of people are gone. The only sign of their occupancy are the neat furrows in the sand where they lay. Behind me, in the dunes, there's another distant trill of laughter. And with nowhere else to head, I turn towards the sound and step into the dunes once more. Luckily, my hands remain numb as they slip on the grass and the ferns, which I haul myself up with. Blood dapples the delicate fronds, though it's getting more and more difficult to see the change of colour from green to red in the crepuscular grey of twilight. My whole foot is swollen now, the cut a soft, white, puckered line within. My leg wears an anklet of hardening flesh. With every step, I can feel minuscule pops of fluid, like bubble wrap. It feels like the swelling will split my skin open at any moment. But still I climb, one more step, grasping at the grass to help me up. In the distance, I can hear something. I hope it's the road. It sounds like cars, though I don't want to get my hopes up. The distant grumbling could just as easily be the laughter of those children again, the ones who like to play hide-and-seek in the dunes. Or it could just as easily be the chuckle of the pebbles on the shoreline as the tide turns. There are strange acoustics in the sand dunes. Sound travels differently here, bouncing across the hills before sliding into the gullies and being smothered by the all-engulfing sand. It's late now. The sun burns low on the horizon, steam clouds rising where it touches the sea. I've given up on finding my family. At the moment, anyone will do. Just an adult. Someone with a mobile. Someone with a car so I don't have to walk anymore. Someone with some water. I still head towards what I hope are the sounds of traffic. But it seems more distant now than it did before. Faded. I stop and turn, listening intently for where the sound of cars is coming from. I head in that direction, but no sooner do I take a step, the sound dissipates, changes. It sounds lighter, more like laughter. The engines are still there, faint, but the sound of giggling is louder. And still I walk towards it. The grass whipping at my tender legs. It doesn't make any difference. No matter which direction I head in now, the sound of the road is hidden under laughter. The roar of engines sounds so alike to the roar of the ocean that I'm not sure I was ever heading towards the road anyway. Was it all a trick? Until I'm all tired out? I stumble forward, and finally I pull myself atop the dune. Maybe from up here, I'll be able to see the road, the sea, something. The grass around me whispers as it tells jokes to the giggling children. And in front of me, another dune looms. If I can make it to the top, maybe then I'll be able to find my way. I plant my feet beneath me once more and take a deep breath as I start up the next mountainous slope. But with every step I feel the sand slip away beneath my feet and my world crumbles. Swimming Out to Sea was written by Penny Jones and performed by Dion Winton Pollock. Copyright 2018. It was created as part of the Black Room Manuscripts, Volume 4, for the Sinister Horror Company. That book, along with Penny's other work, can be purchased from Amazon or direct from the publisher. The music on this recording came from the Free Music Archive, under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial License. The intro music is called The Fifth Life by Circus Marcus. The outro music is called Post Bellum by D. Yan Key. The ocean was provided once more by Clankbield at freesound.org under the same Creative Commons License. Swimming Out to Sea was a fine-toothed comb production.